Okay, Mexubis Nun Ches Samed Aleph. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 lines from the bottom of the page. And the Shatnistin Gemara is 58:8-2. First column. Okay, the Gemara was discussing so far. It's a new Gemara now, but before the Gemara was discussing that if a husband made up to marry the girl at a certain time, and they didn't marry her, so she can even eat truma. The question is how much? Rabbi Akiva, half and half whole. And the Gemara discussed before all the various different things, okay? But the Gemara said that's only if the husband was supposed to marry her, and the date came to marry her, and he didn't, then she could eat truma. But the Mishnah said it then, that what happened if there's Yibum? In other words, they got engaged, Kedushin, the husband died, now she has to do Yibum. But she didn't marry the Yibum yet. Can she eat truma? So the Mishnah said she can't. That's what it said in the Mishnah. So Gemara says, a Yavan ain't a Michael betruma. The Yavan doesn't allow the woman that he's gonna marry to eat truma. So Gemara says, very simple, my time, but why not? The husband, if the time came to marry her, can feed her truma. Why can't the Yavan, when he's supposed to marry her or not? So it says, very simple. By a kohen eating truma, it says kinyan kaspi. Remember, the Gemara said before that min ha-teira, as soon as there's kedushin, the girl could eat truma. And the Gemara said before, why? Because he acquires it with the kedushin money, and therefore it's kinyan kaspi, it's his possession, and therefore possession could eat truma. But the problem is, the Gemara says, she's only the first husband's possession. She's not the Yabam's possession yet. Because he didn't give kedushin, he didn't do anything. When he marries her, then anyway he's a kohen, so she could eat truma also. But until they get actually married, she cannot eat truma.
By Yibum, they don't wait 12 months?
No. I don't know if, let's say, they were supposed to get married in a year, and the guy died 6 months into kedushin. Do they give her 6 months more? I don't know. I don't know if there's a din anywhere like that. I don't know. Okay, then the Mishnah said like this. Also, she is Shechadashim Efnei Abal. Even if she spent 6 months before the husband, and 6 months before the Yibum, that means the husband died, so she was supposed to get married a year later, right? So after 6 months, the husband dies. And now 6 months, she's with the Yibum, right? So it says, so if she was 6 months before the husband, 6 months before the Yibum, or even all before the husband, minus 1 day, or all before the Yibum, minus 1 day, she cannot eat truma. So Gemara says, understand. Hashib if nei balamart, what the Mishnah says, if the husband wasn't 12 months, minus a day, she cannot eat truma. Right? And the Yibum also. So Gemara says, if the husband doesn't let her eat truma less than a year, why should the Yibum allow her to eat truma? Right, we just got through saying the husband acquires her so she can eat truma. Why should the Yabim let her? He didn't even acquire her yet. So Gemara says, you're right. Zuv ain't tzarech le'mezu. It means the husband, and for sure not the Yabim. In other words, she's missing a day of 12 months from the husband. And definitely from the Yabim, she cannot eat truma. It's very simple. But now the Gemara says like this. This whole thing, remember that we said that when the day came, he's supposed to get married. They didn't get married. She can eat truma. The Gemara said, the Mishnah said, this is Mishnah Rishayna. That was the earlier din. Then, later on, they changed the halacha completely. What did they say? They said that Mishnah Chareina said, the second thing, she cannot eat truma until they're actually married. Right? The first halacha, the Mishnah says, the earlier halacha was that after 12 months, if he didn't marry her, she could eat truma. Yeah? The second halacha, and the Gemara is going to explain why, the second halacha was, no. Until they actually get married, she cannot eat truma. Okay? So the Gemara says, my timer. Why not? The Chayra, min ha-teira, Minatera, as soon as they do Kedushin, she can get married. She can eat Truma. It says Kenyan Kasper, he acquired her. Right? Now we give her a year. So the first halacha was after the year she could eat Truma. Right? Now, if you remember before, the Gemara said two reasons why Midrabanan she cannot eat Truma. Minatera, you do Kedushin with a woman, she could eat Truma. Right, because he acquired her. The Gemara said before two reasons. One is, she might give her husband and brother, who are not Kayanim.
Father and brother.
What did I say?
Husband.
Oh, sorry, you're right, husband, no husband. She might give father or brother, right? She might give the rest of her family, not Kayanim. Because don't forget, before they get married, they still live alone. She lives at home. So she... Right? And the second reason the Gemara gave was because of Simfin. What's Simfin mean? He'll find something wrong with her, they'll annul the marriage retroactively, so there was never Kedushin to begin with, so then she was never Aisha's Kohen to eat Truma. Those are the two reasons. Now, the custom was, and this we have to know, we learned it before also, when the year came up, because the Gemara asks before, remember the Gemara asked before, so if we're afraid she's going to give the family, so after a year, when the wedding date comes, she should also not be allowed to eat Truma. Because she might give her family anyway. So where it says, when the year comes up, the husband gets her a place to live by herself. Remember? So we're not afraid that she's going to give the husband and the brothers, not the husband, the father and the brothers, the Truma, right? That was the first Mishnah. Mishnah Rishayna was, Minatayda Shikari Truma, the reason why we don't for the first year is because either they might nullify the wedding or she might give her brothers, yeah, and father. But now that we have Mishnah Shania says even after the year, she cannot eat Truma until she gets married, why not? It's after a year already, why can't she... So she's not married, the guy postponed the wedding. But why can't she eat Truma? So Gemara says, Amar Ula v'semer Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda. Ula said, or some people say Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, Mishum Simfin. You're right. She's not going to give her family anymore because she doesn't live with them anymore. Remember, after a year, the husband has to get her a place to live. What are we afraid of, though? That... Maybe they'll find something blemishes on her. They'll nullify the wedding. So the Mishnah Achreina, the second halacha said, you know what? The mistake, the nullification could still happen even after a year. So therefore, you know what? Until they're actually married, she cannot eat Truma.
What does Mishnah Achreina say? Is that after 12 months she cannot eat it?
No, until they actually get married.
After
12
months, or?
No, the first Mishnah said, 12 months, when he's supposed to marry Aleph Kislev. Yeah? He said, I'm sorry, I can't marry you now. She eats Truma. Even if they get married 3 months later. He was supposed to marry her, Aleph Kislev is when the 12 months are up. He said, but you know what, they can't marry you now. 3 months later. Yeah? For those 3 months, the Mishnah Rishayna said she can eat Truma. Mishnah Chareina, the second halacha, the final halacha is, no, she can't. Gemara says, why not? She has her own house, she's not going to give the brother and the father. So why not? So Gemara says, because of Simfin. We're afraid the husband will find the blemish in her, they'll nullify the wedding. Retroactively, she ate Truma when she wasn't allowed to.
That's even according to the Mishnah Rishona, the same reason, no? We said...
Up to less than 12 months.
No.
You're right.
Same thing.
Well, the Gemara's going to ask that question now. According to Ula, what changed? Why did Mishnah Chareina change their mind?
Because they gave them extra time to do the investigation.
No, but I'm saying if they were going to annul it, what's the difference? That would apply before or after also. Yeah.
Well, the first one gave them 12 months to do it. Now they're saying even after the 12 months.
Right, but to say why did they change their mind? If we're afraid we're going to annul the marriage, right?
Right.
According to the first reason, it makes sense. They said, you know why you can't give the mother and the brother the first 12 months? Because she might give her family. So after 12 months, okay. So then I can understand too why. Because maybe she'll give her family still. Because they're not married, maybe she'll still be hanging around the family, she'll give. Right? So that makes sense. But if the reason the whole time was because she might annul the marriage, what made the second halacha change the mind over the first case? Why? So that's what Gemara says. Bishlei mele Ula, according to Ula, who said before that her family might eat it. So Kamais, I understand, the first Mishnah Rishayna was, Shama Yamzul Okez Bevesavil. Maybe they'll give her the family to drink Truma once they're not allowed to. Obezrais, in the second Mishnah, the second Halacha said the reason is because of Simfin. Okay, so it's a different reason. But the Gemara says, Elo Rav Shmuel Barav Yehuda. Kamais Mishum Simfin, Bezrais Mishum Simfin, my Benayil. The first reason why she could eat after 12 months because of Simfin. The second reason why she can't eat after 12 months is Simfin. What changed? So Gemara says like this, Ika b'nayel b'dikas chutz. Okay, there's a thing like this. What are we afraid of? The husband might annul the marriage. Why might he annul the marriage? Because he might find a blemish in her. So there's external blemishes and there's internal blemishes. Okay, even though the guy had his relatives check her out, but the only one, the Gemara says, that really makes the check is the husband after he marries her. Okay? After he married. So the Gemara says like this. First thing, we're only worried about Mishnah Rishayna, that said after 12 months she could eat Truma because of Simfin. We mean that we're not afraid anymore of Simfin. Is because they said, well, the relatives checked her out, was good enough. And therefore, he's not going to annul the marriage. Okay? The second Mishnah said, until they get married, actually, she cannot eat Truma. Why? Because now the second opinion said, the husband really wants to check her out better. And he could check her out better than all the relatives could. So therefore, they said, you still can't eat Truma, even after the year is up. The Mishnah Achreina. Why? Because maybe, the husband will find a blemish in her that nobody found.
But that's how they're married already.
Yeah, but he'll say, 1 minute, I want to know the marriage. In other words, when they get married, before the husband's actually going to have relations intimate with her, he's going to check her out. And then he's going to find something wrong. He's going to say, 1 minute, it was a bum deal. It was a mekach tois. It was a mistake to begin with. So then they're going to annul the marriage retroactively from the Kedushin. Right? And she ate Truma when she wasn't allowed to. See, the first Mishnah that said, okay, by the time 12 months come, the relatives checked her out. And that's good enough not to annul the marriage. That's what the Gemara said. Mishnah Achreina came along and said, no, it's possible the husband can annul the marriage even later. So therefore, let her not eat Truma until the husband checks her out. That's the difference. But the bottom line is, the Mishnah says clearly, what's the halacha? The final halacha? A woman cannot eat truma midrabanon, until she's actually married to the guy.
After bia.
Well, yeah. Or even before bia, once he checked her out, before the bia.
Because of the second chupa. Reason, not right. Because of the first reason.
Because of the simfin. No, because if it's only the first reason, maybe she'll give her family after 12 months. She's not with the family anymore. So she should be able to eat. See, today is totally irrelevant. First of all, we don't have truma today, number one. But I'm saying even if we would, today we do Kedushin and Chuppah together. So there's no 12 months in between the Kedushin and the marriage to say that she should be able to eat truma. So it's not practical today anyway. Okay, next. This Mishnah is very interesting, Mishnah. let me just give an introduction to this din. We learned before, there's obligations of husband to wife and wife to husband. Husband has an obligation to support his wife, right? Feed her. Because of that, the Chachamim said, any money she makes at the side goes to the husband. That's what we learned before in the Mishnah. In addition to that, the Mishnah said, how much is there, does she have to work that goes to the husband? So the Mishnah says, before, 5 sloyim of warp thread per week. A seller is a coin, okay? So let's make it easier, $1, yeah? So, $5 a week that she makes, that goes to the husband. More than the $5 a week that she makes, doesn't go to the husband. You know, the Chachamim said like this, the husband supports the wife, it's only right that whatever she finds, I mean, whatever she finds or works or whatever, goes to the husband. Yeah? But the Gemara said, 1 minute, how much work does the husband get? So the Gemara says, 5 slim. Okay, let's call $5 just to make it easier, yeah? So up to $5 the husband gets, over $5 she keeps.
Okay. That's the money for the food and
any money that she gets herself after she's married.
That's covering the expenses of eating, yeah? The $5 or not?
No, it's just the amount of chum that she keeps.
He keeps.
He
keeps.
Yeah, but that she works, he gets. But anything above that, she keeps.
So if she made 6, she only keeps the 1, or she keeps all 6?
No. She makes 6, 5 go to the husband, 1 she keeps.
Okay.
She makes 4, it all goes to the husband. She makes 10, 5 to the husband gets 5. Up to 5, the husband gets. Okay? So there is the money that belongs to him, right? And there's the money that she keeps. Got it? Very simple. Now, the Mishnah said something like this. Hamakdish maisi deishay. A guy says that money that she makes, the money she will make, is hegdish. Yeah. The Gemara thought now, the way the Gemara is learning now, it refers to the $5 that is his, right? Because it's his, when she makes it, so he can make it hegdish. He can donate it to the Beis HaMikdash.
That's not a chiddush.
Oh, yes, it is. Because it says,
that's his money.
Huh?
That's his money.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I want to put my money hectic, so it's my money. So. The 5.
She didn't make it yet.
Huh?
She didn't make it yet.
Oh, because
it's not his yet. Look at the Mishnah says, Hamagdish Maisi De Ishtai. And again, this case is speaking the 5 mandatory dollars that goes to him. She can work and eat, meaning she can support herself with those proceeds still. They're not hegdish. And the Gemara is going to explain, why not? Like you said, it's his. Hamaisan. What happens, what she earns in extra above and beyond the $5. Okay?
I didn't understand the first part. Who's eating? Who is ze or seva or chelet? Who is
she eating? Can eat and eat, work and eat.
He's saying that this money that she's going to make is hektesh.
Right.
And which one? So $5.
Yeah. So the Mishnah says that $5 of work that she produces, yeah, she can use. She can eat.
But that's supposedly to be his.
I understand, but it's not hektesh. That's what the Mishnah means. It's not hektesh.
Doesn't make sense. The
lotion
doesn't go together.
Sure it does.
Because that money doesn't go to her. That goes to the husband.
And the husband.
So she has a debt. She has a debt. She has to pay him.
She hasn't made it yet. That could be a debt.
What happens, Hamaisar? He consecrated the extra money, okay? Okay, what this means is like this. The Mishnah later says, in addition to feeding the wife, he has to give her one silver ma per week for spending. Has to feed her, okay? In addition to that, he gives her a silver coin per week. Because of that, if that's what he does, her excess over the $5 of her work also goes to the husband. You know, it's actually, this husband-wife story, not like that today, was actually a financial deal between husband and wife. He supported her, so what does he get back in the investment? 5 sela a week. He gives her extra silver ma a week. So because of that, anything over $5 she makes,
He also gets.
The condition, yeah.
Huh?
They make condition with each other, yeah.
No, Bezdin makes the condition.
Oh, the Bezdin?
It's not theirs. It's a Chum made this condition. We'll learn later in the Gemara, we'll get there today. Whatever the wife says, you know what? Don't support me and I'm not giving you my money. She has a good job. You know, a lot of women today make more money than the husbands do, right? She comes to the Besdin and says, hey, you know what? Don't support me and don't take my money.
We learned that in another Gemara.
We learned that in another Gemara, but Gemara is going to talk about it again today, if she has a right to say that.
Can she say this or not? That's the question.
The question, what was for what?
Could you imagine if that happened today?
It's called a prenuptial agreement. The rich people getting married a second time, a third time, a fifth time, they make these prenups for the financials. Sure.
So the wife tells the guy in the old days, listen, don't support me, I'll support myself. And they would have to go for the base then for that one?
Yeah. No, just to work it out legally. Okay. Now, what happens if he makes Hegedish the extra money over the $5? So then, Rameir says Hegdish. Rameir says it becomes Hegdish. Rabbi Yechon Asandla Emer, Rabbi Yechon Asandla says Chulin. It is not Hegdish.
Cannot okay. Do that. It's not his money yet. This is hers. How can you make Hegdish somebody else's money?
No, because Gemara says, according to Rameir, so the Gemara is going to say, by the way, does Rameir mean it becomes Hegdish after the wife dies? Because after the wife dies, who gets the money?
Husband.
The husband. Right? So the Gemara is going to talk, does it mean after she dies or even before he dies? Rabbi Yechon Sandler says a very simple statement. That money, she didn't make yet. It's money she will make. It's not that she made the money already and the husband says it's Hegdish. It's money, he says, money she will make, I'm making Hegdish. Rabbi Yechon Sandler says, you can't make Hegdish something that doesn't exist yet. For instance, if a guy plants a tree, yeah, we'll see that later in the Gemara, and the guy says, forget the husband and wife, a guy plants a tree, there's no fruit on the tree. The guy says, the fruit that this tree produces will be Hegdish. So simply, the halacha is it's not Hegdish. Why not?
It's not here yet.
You can't be Magdish something that doesn't exist. It's like, I'll give you an example. A guy comes over to a woman and says, the child you're going to give birth to 2 years from now is Mukadeshus to me. Gemara's going to bring that. It's not Kedushin. Why not? Because it doesn't exist yet. The question is, I'm not married, the Gemara's going to ask, how in the world the money's not here yet? How could a man make it Hegdish?
Well, I'm saying even if the money is here, imagine the money is here. She's making money right now, right? The extra money, he cannot make it Hegdish. It's not his. This is her money. Extra, that's hers.
But the fact that he gives it a silver coin, that's what I'm saying, because he gives it a silver coin, so then the extra money also goes to him.
That's not a Hegdish, of course. That's not a Hiddush if they do that, of course.
No, it's your but money. It's still not there yet.
Imagine if it's there, there's no Hiddush.
If it's there, it's his money.
If it's not there, it's also... It's
the whole mission is speaking that the money's not here yet.
Yeah.
If the money's there, and she has to give it to him, right?
He can
make. If you owe me $100, yeah? And I say, the $100 you owe me is Hiddush. If the money exists, yeah, then it's Hegdish.
Yeah.
It's not mine, it is mine, because you owe it to me. Here we're speaking, the woman didn't get the money yet. He says, the money, she's going to work. So the first opinion, everybody agrees, it's not Hegdish. It's not Hegdish. Then everybody says it's not Hegdish. Okay? And the Gemara is going to explain later why. Because it's his money. Right? But that the Gemara will explain later. Then it said, what happens if he was Magdish, the excessive money? So the mayor says, that's Mekudeshes. I mean, not Mekudesh. That's Hegdish. And Rabbi Yechazanda says not. Okay, let's see in the Gemara. Amrav. This is Bechlal Nudin. Amrav, what we just said before. When a wife is able to say to the husband, you know what? Don't support me, and I will not work and give you my income. She has a right to say that. Okay? Yeah? In fact, at the bottom, it brings an interesting thing. There are 7 obligations that a wife has to do to the husband. She has to cook and weave and, you know, and the husband has to support her. And so we learned before, we didn't learn it yet. There's a Mishnah later. It says like this.
You mentioned last time.
Yeah. The malachas that a husband does to the wife, I'm sorry, the malachas that a wife does to the husband is like this. She grinds grain into flour, bake, does the laundry, cooks, nurses the kid, makes the bed, and works with wool. Okay? Then the whole thing. What does the husband have to do for her? He has to support her.
Marital
relations, support, okay, a few things. So now, the woman comes along, this is time he brings out the bottom, some extra. The woman comes along and says to the husband, you know what? Don't support me, and I don't give you my money. Does that fear from all the other obligations too?
Something, right?
No, it's being down. You have to do the 6 household chores. Some people say no. Yeah, because otherwise you go Mishnah. We'll see. The Mishnah talks about that later. She doesn't. If a woman sits and does nothing a whole day, they go Mishnah, like people do. Okay, now. So the Gemara tries to understand why does Rav Huna say what he said. Rav Huna Merav says a woman could say, "I don't support me." And I don't give you my money. Why could she say that? So Pesavir, because he holds key to Kinnur Rabbanan. When the Chachamim, you know, said, she has to work for him, he has to support her. What's the primary and what's the secondary? In other words, bottom line is, he has to support her, what she makes go to him. What's the main thing?
Support.
Is it support, or she has to work for him? Meaning like this. He holds Mizayna Ikar. Primary purpose of the Chachamim's institution of the enactment was that he has to support her. Why does she have to give him the money? Mishum Eva, that he shouldn't hate her guts. Because he says, listen, I'm supporting you and you're making money, why don't you give me some of it? Yeah? Therefore, V'chi Amra Einen Zainas Veni Aisa. Therefore, she has a right to say, don't support me, and I won't feed you. I won't give you my money. In other words, like this. Is the takana the man's or the woman's?
Man.
There's two ways of looking at it.
Yeah.
The takana, bottom line is, the man supports her, and the woman gives him the money. Now, if the main thing is the woman gives him the money, that was the main thing. And because of that, he feeds her, so it's not up to her.
No, then it is up to her.
No, because the main thing is she has to give him the money.
Yeah, that's the main thing, she can let it go.
No, he says, woman, you have to give me money.
If
you cannot let go of somebody else. You can let go of what is yours.
Right, no? But she says, no, I have to give him money. So who's that benefit for?
The husband.
The husband. Because she gives him money, he has to support her.
But she can let.
But if the main takon is for the husband's benefit, that she has to give him money, she has no control to say, no, I don't want it. It's his call, not her call. If you say the main thing the Chacham said is he has to feed her, that means it's her benefit, and because of that she has to give him money. So because it's her benefit, she could deny her benefit. That's what Ravun holds. But I'm saying if you hold the opposite way, that the main takana the Chacham said was she has to give him money. Whatever she makes goes to him.
But that's normal.
And because of that, he has to support her. So then it's her benefit, not hers, so she can't undo it.
That's not a usual scenario.
I know, because the halacha is... But the Gemara is just explaining his... What? Listen, their obligation, the husband has to the wife, and the wife has to the husband, yeah? Why does she have a right to say, don't support me, and I won't give you money? He doesn't have a right to say that. The husband can't come to the wife and say, you know what? I'm not supporting you, and whatever you make, go make. He can't say that. Correct? Correct. Only the wife could say it, the Gemara says. Yes? So obviously, according to that, the main takana of the Chachamim was for her benefit. Therefore, she could decline her benefit. And say, I don't want it. But if the benefit was for him, how could she say, I don't want him? You know, it's football season. Mm-hmm. You know, a penalty, you could, if the penalty is against the other team,
you could
decline it.
That's true.
But if you get a penalty, can't I decline the penalty? The penalty is against you, right? Right? Again.
Right.
So, the fact that Ravuna says, the wife can say, don't support me and I won't give you money, shows that he holds the main takana was for the wife's benefit. That she gets fed. And because of that, she gives money to the husband. So then she could decline it. Yeah. Okay. But now the Gemara may say, I'll ask you a question. It says in the Brisa clearly the opposite of what we just said. It says, tiknu mezainis. The Brisa says, you know why the husband has to feed her? Because she has to give her money. Mamish, the opposite of what we just said. We said, the main thing is he has to give her food, and because of that, the money goes to him. The Braitzer says just the opposite. Tiknu mezainis, why did the Chacham say you need to feed her? Because she gives him money.
Still she makes money.
Yeah. No. Whatever the earning, no, because she has to do earnings.
And then that's the main thing.
Yeah.
Well, they used to put the wives to work those days?
Sure. It says, Mamish, the opposite of what we just said. So I said, the price is wrong. Switch it around. No, that's not what the Gemara is just changing the Bryce. Now, like we learned before, Bryces were not necessarily 100% correct. So a lot of times, you can't just say change around the Mishnah. That rarely is done, unless they have support for it. But here, the Gemara said the Bryce doesn't make sense. It can't be that the reason why the husband has to feed her is because he gets her earnings. That the budget doesn't make sense. Okay, so now he says, let me, I'll even prove it to you. It says, Amag de Shmaisi de Ishtay, it's some, in our Mishnah, what was the first case in the Mishnah? If somebody sanctifies his wife's work, Hari Eisevei Cheles, she nevertheless can work and eat. My love, it m'stama, b'nizainis, when the husband is supporting her. Right? And therefore, she can still eat. So another, Mar says, no, b'shenin is speaking when he's not supporting her. Meaning, the Gemara says, the case of Amisha could be speaking, the husband has no money to support her. He just doesn't have. If the husband can't support her, then what she makes, she keeps. And supports herself. Right? So Gemara wanted to bring up the fact that our Mishnah says she could, if he consecrated, if he made Hedish, her working the five sela, originally, that it's not Hedish, so Mistam is speaking even when he supports her. So Gemara said, no, our Mishnah is speaking maybe when he doesn't support her, because he can't. Then obviously the din is, if the husband doesn't keep his side of the bargain, his side of the deal, he's not supporting her, then she doesn't have to give him the money either. Right? Because she doesn't have money. She has to support herself. And the Gemara says like this. Then of course, so what did Gemara say? If he doesn't support her, so she doesn't have to give him his money. Right? If she doesn't have to give him his money, of course it's not Hekdesh, it's not his. How can he make it Hekdesh? The Mishnah says, right, if he makes Hekdesh her money, it's not Hekdesh. Right? So you might say, if you're interpreting the Mishnah to mean, that even if he doesn't support her, he can't make, that if he doesn't support it, the money's not Hekdesh. Of course it's not Hekdesh, it's not his. It's hers. So Gemara says it like this, because it's interesting, Allah, because I feel, there's a din like this. A master buys a slave, yeah? He has to support him. What happens if a master buys a slave and he says to him like this, I say imi ve'ein azonach. You know what? You have to work for me, but I can't support you. You have to go support yourself. So according to the opinion, it says you could do that. Hani mili be'evit kanani. That's only by a kanani slave. Yeah? The leiksiv be'imach, because it doesn't say kitev la'imach, it has to be good, you have to support him. Aval evit ivri, but an evit ivri. You buy a Yiddish slave. Dechsiv be'imach, where it says with you. That you have to make his life good, lie, you can't do it, kol shekein ishtei, for sure his wife. Meaning like this. The Gemara says, there's no such thing as a husband telling a wife, you have to give me your money, but I'm not supporting you. The Gemara says like this, by an eved, we find a halacha, that the master could tell the slave, You have to work for me, and I'm not feeding you. So Gemara said, that is only by Eved Kanani. Because by Eved, even the Torah says, when you buy an Eved, in the Kitav, you're right, you buy a master. Kitav la'imach has to be good with you. That's only by Eved Ivri. So by Eved Kanani, yeah, you can tell him, listen guy, you have to work for me, but you have to go support yourself. Yeah? People do that today with workers. You have to work for me, but you have to get your own wage, your own budget. Yeah? I'm your boss, but I'm not paying you. But the Gemara says that doesn't work by Eved Ivri, and definitely not by a wife. So the Gemara's question is, you're telling me in the Mishnah, the way you just defined the Mishnah, that when the husband makdish the work of the wife, the not the extra, the five seller of the wife, it's not hegdish. If you tell me the case is he's not even supporting her, and b'chal she doesn't then have to give him the money, so for sure it's not good. Right? So it says, Sefer Yitzchokhali. You're right. It's not speaking that simple. But it's because of the end of the Mishnah. The end of the Mishnah says, Maisar, the extra money over the five, right? Their extra earnings. Rab Meir says, Hegdish. Rabbi Yochanan Sanda says, Eina Hegdish. Meaning like this. Because even if the husband says, I'm not supporting you. Okay? Therefore, she doesn't have to give him the money. Correct? What about the extra money? After she dies. Then the husband gets it. When a wife dies, the kids don't inherit her.
Even he never supported her.
Huh?
Even he never supported her.
Correct.
Goes to
him.
Next to kid.
No, but see, even if there's kids. Yeah. The only time the kids inherit the mother if there's no husband.
Yeah.
The husband died already. Right? But, or money that she made us since she got divorced. And then she got money and then the kids will inherit them because the husband is not the husband anymore.
The husband is the opposite. If the husband dies, the woman doesn't get the
kids. Woman never inherits.
From the husband.
Yeah, she can inherit from her father if there's right. No brothers. Today it's all different. You write wills in a way that... So the Gemara is speaking, the Gemara says, Rameir is speaking, when is it Hegdish? After she dies. Then the husband inherits her. Right? Not before. Before she dies, it's her money. He's not supporting her. If he's not supporting her,
it's her money.
It's her money. Because she doesn't have to give it to him. He's not supporting her.
If he's not supported, can she ask for divorce? In the old days.
Yeah, but that guy doesn't have to give it. I mean, you can ask for whatever you want.
Isn't that a ground for divorce?
No.
Isn't that his obligation, though?
It's his obligation. If a guy says, I can't, what do you do?
He can't support her. Why is he marrying her? Wouldn't she file for divorce?
So it's not a contract. She's breaking the
contract.
He went
bankrupt. Huh?
He went bankrupt.
That's his question. Yeah, that's right.
He went bankrupt.
After he got married.
There's no bankruptcy in
Torah. He lost his money.
No bankruptcy in Torah?
No.
But the guy's business went under and he lost his money.
No, the bottom line that he doesn't want to. He can't. He said, I can't.
So
now like this. The money she made, the extra money she made, is hers for sure. Once she dies, it's his. Now, can he make it Hegdish today that when she dies, it becomes Hegdish?
No.
That's what the mayor says you could. Rabbi Meir says it's Hekdesh.
But if the money doesn't exist yet?
Yeah.
But even if it exists, she may spend it before she dies.
Yeah, but it's not his until she dies. No, but I'm saying the mayor holds the money that's left after she dies becomes Hekdesh.
After she dies.
Yeah, because until, if he's not supporting her, then it's not his money. She doesn't give it to him.
So she can use it for whatever she wants to, you know.
Right. See, he goes into a whole Megillah at the bottom. So what's the difference between the extra money and the not extra money? If he's not supporting her, everything's his. I'm hers. Right? If he's not supporting her, so her money doesn't go to him. Yet the Mishnah says, the first five sellers, is everybody says not Hekdesh. Right? The extra money, the mayor says, is Hekdesh.
After she dies.
Yeah. But why is it Hekdesh versus the original five seller money that's not Hekdesh at all, even after she dies? That's what the Mishnah said. What did our Mishnah say? The first five seller, what she has to give him, is not Hekdesh according to all opinions. The excess money, is Hekdesh according to the mayor after she dies. Right? What's the difference between the original five and the excess money? If he's not supporting her, so what's the difference? It's her money anyway. So this money, $5 or $100, it's all her money anyway. Why is this Hekdesh and this not Hekdesh according to the mayor? Yeah? So the explanation is like this. The five seller money she has to give him is in place of support. Right? He supports her. She gives him the five seller a week. Right. Therefore, if he doesn't support her, the money's hers. She doesn't give it to him. Now, the excess money, why does he get it? Because he gives her a silver mana a week. Not support, extra spending money. So the Gemara says that extra money is not because he gives her a seller. The extra money over five, the husband gets not in exchange for the seller. It's two different obligations. The extra money goes to him. He has to give her a seller. Silver coin. If he doesn't, she has to give him the money anyway. But she holds it as collateral for the silver coin. But whose money is it really?
Yes.
His. Now, as long as he doesn't give it a silver coin, she's holding the money as collateral, as security. It's not like the original five seller, which is exchange for work and for support. Therefore, you don't support, you don't get. Therefore, whose money is it? It's her money completely. So the first case of the Mishnah, when the husband is Magdish, that five seller that the wife technically owes him if he would support her, is not his. It's the woman's money. Why is it the woman's money? Because that is because he supports her. No support, no five seller.
Okay.
No.
Yeah.
Listen, the extra money has nothing to do with, it's not because.
If he doesn't give him seller,
no.
He cannot give it.
No, no, yes. That's not true.
Yeah.
She has to give him, there's two separate obligations. She has to give him the extra money. He has to give her seller. It's not contingent one on the next. The first five seller is contingent on the support for her. It's one thing. You support her, she gives you the money. You don't support her, it's not your money. It's her money. The extra money, she has to give it to him. It's his money, it's not her money. Why did a chum let her hold on to it? Because he owes her another debt. He owes her another debt of a seller, silver seller per week. But whose money is it really, the extra work? The real owner is the husband. She holds on to it because it's collateral. Now, therefore that money, when she dies, whose money was it the whole time? It was the husband's money. And now he's inheriting that money. But when he made it Hegdish, the mayor says, it's Hegdish.
I can see different logic for that.
Huh?
Different logic.
I understand you could say a different logic. Because you could say the extra is also because contingency on the money, on the silver coin. Yeah? But the Gemara says it's not.
No, different.
What?
So the coin is per month, not per week.
Per week.
A
silver,
the dime.
Silver ma'a per week.
So how did that compare to a shekel or?
I don't know what money, what it is.
But we are assuming that the husband wants to give a seller this to her. But if he doesn't want to give that, there's no such a thing. If he doesn't support her, okay, so she can keep the money she's making, right?
Right.
How much more? Call shake and extra the motor. Yeah. How much more? If yeah.
No.
Yeah, if he's not supporting.
Because this is contingent on this and this isn't.
We want to say, in general, whatever she makes belongs to husband, right? This is the rule.
Only the five seller.
The first five.
That doesn't make sense. Something missing.
He, in fact, owes her the excess earnings. He owns. But he owes her silver money per week. She then keeps the excess in lieu of the obligation, meaning as a mashkin, to provide her the silver money. Then it's only security that she's holding. Say, Kafai, you owe me money, and I take collateral from you. Whose collateral is it? It's yours, not mine. I'm holding it as collateral, as a mashkin security for the debt.
So that means she can't use the money for that for anything.
Technically, or if he gives her a silver money, she'll pay it back.
Yeah, well, but then he gets to do something with the money.
Yeah, whoever. Then, the Gemara says, therefore when she dies, he inherits her, and now he doesn't have to pay her anymore the silver money. Silver ma, not money. Silver ma. Why? Because she's dead. But whose money was that? It's really his money. She was holding it as collateral for the loan.
So he could make an
exit. Yeah, that's what the mayor holds. He can make an exit. The Bechem Sandler says he can because it doesn't exist yet. But the mayor holds it does exist. Well, we'll see what the mayor holds. The Meir holds. So the point is like this. The first five sela, which is in exchange for him supporting her, so therefore if he doesn't support her, it's not his money. It's not that he owes her the money and she's keeping the money for this. No. The extra earnings, though, the Gemara says, is something that the Chacham said belongs to the husband. She really has to give it to him. But he owes her money. He owes her a silver maor a week. So she's holding the money as a collateral for that. But whose money is it really? It's the husband's. Therefore, when she dies, the husband inherits her. Right? The husband inherits her. And therefore all the money is his, and therefore the hegdish that he did retroactively is good.
But if he never gives him sela, then when he dies, can she keep the... When she dies, can she make it like a real seva that the money goes to her children?
No.
But he never gave him sela, like a mashkan, like you said. He never give him.
Oh, you mean if he never can?
If he never give him, then
no.
Still,
it's his money.
So doesn't what is the point if they give him mashkan, no mashkan? What is the point? It's a fetish. It's all his money.
As long as she's alive,
he can hold it temporarily. Right. And what's he going to do with it? Can he spend it?
No, usually not. I don't know. I don't know if she can. I don't know if she can spend
it. She's not a bank to hold the money for him.
Let me ask you a question. You owe me. I owe you $1,000. I take a mashk. I mean, you take a mashk.
Okay.
Can you spend the mashkin if I don't pay you the money yet?
No. But it looks like here she's a bank. She's holding the money.
But it's his money.
Let him keep the money. Why she's holding it? If she cannot, there's a point.
They'll force him to pay her the money.
There's a point.
Force him to pay the money. Why do you take collateral? Why do you take a mashkin?
Why can't she deduct the silver ma and give it the respect to
her? I don't know which one's more. You don't know which one's more.
No, the point is she cannot spend the money at all. With mashkin, no mashkin. So that is the point of she's keeping
it. She'll spend the silver ma that she gets in the previous time.
No.
To be continued.
My God.